Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. The title, Is Your Organ Really Dead? The Art and Science of Tissue Regeneration. Important topic. And why is that? Because many of you are told each day in the emergency room at the doctor's office that your lung or your kidney or your liver or your knee joint or your hip or your brain are in some degree of chronic progressive degeneration. And more often than not, and incorrectly so, you're told that you really can't do a lot about it except take the standard drug, perhaps get the standard surgery, and that after that, well, that's the best you can do. Now, I wouldn't mind if people were told this, and the research backed it up, meaning when you actually look into the journals about your organ's ability to regenerate, regardless of what organ it is, so all of you are involved today, because sooner or later, everyone will have an organ, an eye, a brain, a pancreas, an intestine that wears out. It wears out, or some sort of accelerated wearing begins. And off biopsy, a doctor is going to end up telling you that, well, that organ's shot. You're just at that age where things wear out. And if we can't replace it, we'll minimize the damage. If we can replacement, let's do the transplant when needed. Now, I wouldn't mind, as I said, if when this is true, well, it was stated as such. If you go into the literature, and this is of great, great pleasure to me, if you go into the literature, what you're going to find is that scientists study these degenerating mechanisms. And in the literature, the line they draw in the medical literature is very different than the line your pathologist and especially the doctor that interfaces with you will draw. In other words, you're given the downside of the deal. So let's take a kidney or a liver or a heart as examples of three organs. Again, on the website today, I've posted articles coming right out of the journals stating the newfound adaptability, pliability, and reserve energy in organs that were once considered considered not regenerable are today being studied and being found extremely regenerable. I have an article today on the website about the heart. The heart for many years was considered an organ. Well, when you got the cells at birth, those were the cells you died with. Only to find that every 4 years, your heart actually regenerates itself. Now, we understand the skin can regenerate. We understand bones, when you break them, those bones heal, so they regenerate. We always understood that the epithelial linings of the lungs regenerate. The linings of the intestines regenerate, because that was common sense, right? The air you breathe and the poisons in the air tend to begin to scar up, inflame, and fibrose the lining of the bronchial tubes in the lungs. And pathology going way back always knew that those linings could regenerate, just like as the foods and the poisons, et cetera, line the intestinal tract, those cells will inflame, wear down, and regenerate, as is the case with the skin. This has always been understood. But what they're finding today, and I posted the articles, is that organs and the cells of those organs once thought not replaceable, not regenerable, are very much regenerating. In the course of your lifetime, all the cells of the heart will replace themselves every 4 years. Now, that's an incredible, if you look at that, what pathology today, what the studies are showing us is that the entire human body regenerates itself, which poses us a question then. Upon what basis are we told that your lungs are gone, your kidneys gone, your liver's gone, and that they are irreversibly fibrotic? Upon what basis are we told that when the literature so often contradicts that? So today I want to give you an interpretation of this. I want to talk about stem cells. I want to talk about the space between the cells. And I want to try to piece together what on the Western front in conservative allopathy, we're telling you when we say your lung, your kidney, your liver, your heart has degenerated to the point where you cannot ever, ever anticipate regeneration. What they're talking about versus what their own literature is talking about. Now, if you really get this show down today, it's a serious ray of hope for you. And again, it's not wishful thinking. It's not hype. It's not marketing. It's simply what the literature is telling us we are capable of. As always, get to the website if you can. I've got lots of great pictures on. I've got articles on today. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. If you're driving, just listen along. If you can't get to the computer when you can, get to the computer. I mean, I do this show because so many people are given the nail in the coffin. Each day I have people come in and they're in different states of disarray. It's one organ or the other on its way towards a transplant. Get in line. If possibly you can do this transplant, well, then you're one of the lucky ones. If not, you're toast. And this is what the reality comes down to for lots of people. But when I look at pathology reports and I see the condition of the organ, I know that there's a mistake being made in these interpretations. In other words, what you're told isn't really reality. And there's a reason. So get to the website and let's talk about that reason. First of all, when you're talking about a cell, you're talking about a factory. You're talking about an independent entity that requires nutrients so that it can produce its function. A cell is there to do its job, and all the cells have different jobs, thus the different organs. That's simple enough. Something in the form of chemical, microbe, and right there I listed millions of possibilities. But some sort of bad guy starts to tear down the wall of the cell. And of course, the immune system is well informed about this. And the immune system patrolling the beat, the neighborhood, sees guts of the cell, bits of the cell, chips of the cell lying in the intercellular space. And the immune system cell, the macrophage, say, blows a whistle. And that whistle attracts other cells. And this whole cascade of inflammation begins. Again, common concept. When we talk about disease, your symptom approaching disease, we're always talking about the prerequisite, which is the inflammatory process. And as that inflammatory process begins, it increasingly calls for the deposition of scar tissue, fibrin. So we have a normal cell, a damaged cell, an immune system blowing a whistle, the deposition of fibrin, or the buildup of scar tissue within that organ. And that's where the pathologist comes in. The pathologist looks at that organ under an electron microscope and says, there's so much fibrosis here in this particular organ, this kidney, this heart, this lung, this liver, that surely the level of fibrosis has damaged the organ to the point where the organ will never regain its normal function. Now, the pathologist just sends to the medical doctor, meaning the medical doctor in the lab that looks at it under an electron microscope writes a report, the path report, and the medical doctor reads that. Now, what the medical doctor does, and this is the point, the medical doctor weighs the information on the path report against his clinical experience. And generally, the clinical experience of the doctor ends up telling the patient that there's not a lot you can do. Now, that may not be the case, but in the clinical experience of the doctor, that's almost always the outcome. So the regeneration that the literature may say can occur is not anything the medical doctor ever sees, because the medical doctor is basing his advice to the patient on all his past cases, and his past cases did nothing. So you go to your doctor to get advice about what the future of your organ looks like based upon the path report, and the doctor just dips into his clinical bank. In other words, he gives you advice, counsel, based on what he's seen over the years with his patients, and then tells you there's nothing to do but minimize the damage, sit home, and watch TV. And he says that to you assuredly, because that's been his experience after 20 to 30 to 40 years of telling people there's nothing you can do. So the medical doctor is interpreting. The medical doctor is interpreting the pathology report. And that is the problem. The medical doctor is interpreting. That's where the medical doctor crosses the line. Now, I have seen this happen so many times. And it's wrong. It's wrong to think that way. Because what you're being told then is that there's nothing you can do. And if you go to the literature, there's much you can do. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Go to the website, that's straighttalk.cc. Go on show 310. Click to view the full article on liver regeneration. Go ahead, give yourself a moment. And if you've got the luxury of being at a computer, just take a look at that. We're not going to get into this too deeply. You guys do that on your own. If you're just listening and you can't get to a computer, just read this. Just listen along. Look at that title. Reversal of fibrosis, no longer a pipe dream. Fibrosis or scarring is a highly conserved evolutionary response to limit tissue damage and serves as a generic response to chronic liver injury, regardless of cause. Progressive scarring leads to cirrhosis. And if you come right on along, what this article is going to tell you is, for years, this is the next page, liver fibrosis was considered irreversible. However, there is accumulating clinical and experimental evidence to suggest that this axiom be rejected. Now that's gold. It is gold to you. It is right out of a peer-reviewed, highly respected journal on livers. It's conducted by the Liver Research Group, Division of Infection, Inflammation, and Repair. There's a host of extremely credentialed people that wrote this article. And it's telling you that when doctors tell you you're in a progressive degenerative disease state, that this needs to be challenged. Now, they're only citing the liver, but I put other articles on for the heart, for the kidney, and so on and so forth. And if you scour the literature, you will find. So, again, what is this gap? Well, one thing they'll tell you, and it's true, is that it's the degree of scarring. It is the amount of damage, the amount of fibrosis in the pathology report that's going to determine whether or not it's reversible. The amount, the degree of fibrosis will determine just what the regeneration potential actually is. And that's where things get very murky. Because other than late stage, moderate to advanced fibrosis of any organ in the literature shows signs of reversibility. Which is to say that unless your pathology reports point to extreme decay, extreme necrosis, there's a distinct possibility that the damage done can be reversed. And we're going to get into the what that's about. And we're going to get into that process. Now, there's one for the liver. I want you to take a look at another one. Podocyte regeneration. Click to view the article on podocyte. That's the kidney. Podocyte regeneration. Regeneration of glomerular podocytes by renal progenitor cells. This isn't complicated. This is just a simple article from the American Journal of Nephrology. That's the kidney people. And they're simply telling you that when you're told you're on your way to renal failure and that there's nothing you can do but take the anti-inflammatories or the cyclosporin or the cyclophosphamide or the Rituxan, that in the literature, as you're going to read right here, we found that kidneys' podocytes, the filtration unit of the kidney, does regenerate. Again, subject to how much degeneration there is, what stage of fibrosis is the organ actually in, being the point. But what's going on, again, is that syndrome of you're on your way down, there's nothing you can do, so go home and do nothing. And of course, what do you expect is going to be the outcome? So if you're in an early stage of fibrosis in your kidney, despite articles testifying to the glomerulus's ability to regenerate, if you're in an early stage towards a moderate stage, which the articles will say is reversible, but you're told to do nothing, what's going to happen in 10 years? And that's exactly the point. So we're fulfilling our own prophecies. And this is where we've been murky. This is when we've been unclear. This is where we've erred on the side of pessimism. Now, you can do this with any organ. All of our organs are capable of regenerating against fibrosis, unless you are past a moderate stage of fibrosis. The literature is filled with examples of tissues from brain to heart to kidney to liver regenerating against the common allopathic wisdom. So you have a dilemma then. You have a dilemma when you're told your lungs are shot and there's nothing you can do. Your heart is gone and there's nothing you can do. You've had damage. The fibrosis is irreversible. And look forward to a limited future, or look forward to a transplant, a life of immunosuppressive drugs. You have a dilemma when you're told that against the literature. And this is why you have to really understand here. Because if you're ever in this position, you're going to be shaken. You will be shaken to your core. To find out you're losing your kidneys, to find out that the loss you've suffered to the heart tissue gives you a poor prognosis for the future is a very heavy thing to deal with. And so you have a dilemma. Can you really understand what the literature implies? The literature written by research scientists, the literature written by medical doctors. And you will be incredulous. You will be surprised to see the difference between the literature and what the head of your department says. And this is where a lot of people really get tripped up. Understandably, it's incredible to realize that what the head of a department at a well-respected hospital will tell you is reality can be in stark contrast to the reality at hand. And again, the reason for that, and you've got to understand the reason so you can understand how things fit together. And that's the goal here of the show, to get you educated enough so you can understand how to piece it together. If you have a well-intentioned physician that sees you are in early to moderate stage fibrosis, you've lost podocytes, you've lost heart cells, your lungs are shot, your liver has so much fibrosis from drinking that it's pushing towards cirrhosis, and you have a well-meaning, a caring physician with 30 years of experience, the bad prognosis he gives you is based upon watching people do nothing. So in a sense, he's sincere. But that sincerity in that case works against you because you may not be a do-nothing person. If you're a proactive individual, if you're an individual that understands why the literature and why the medical doctor contradict each other, well, then you've got a shot. All right. If you are in this situation, get into the literature. Look at the degree, the variety of claims from hardcore medical journals that will tell you about the reversibility of fibrosis and the prospect of regenerating once dead tissue. All right. So what's all this about? How do organs regenerate? What do they rely upon? Well, first of all, it's important to understand that before the organ in question, before the cell of the organ dies, before it's replaced by scar tissue, it's in a very reversible state. So you got to get this. We all agree, all doctors, all pathologists agree, that if the cells are simply inflamed, if they're upset, if they're chronically upset, but they're still functional, if you pull back the things that inflame it, if your liver cell, your hepatocyte, is about to die but isn't dead, it's just inflamed because you drink too much alcohol. When you stop drinking alcohol, your body just knows how to regenerate those cells. If you catch any organ in a state of chronic inflammation, as long as the cell is still alive, as long as it has not disfigured, pathology will tell you it's quite reversible. Nobody disagrees with that. The early stages to the later stages of an inflammatory process of an organ are reversible, and everyone agrees with that. The dispute comes with after enough cells have died and organ function is beginning to suffer. The question then is, can the organ grow new tissue? So I want you to understand the different subsets of concern here. The early stage concern is as if you drink too much, or if you've just pounded chemicals into your body and you've fried your kidneys, meaning your kidneys have had to work so hard over the years that those cells in the kidney or cells in the brain have simply begun to inflame and fray, and under the microscope they look terrible. But you're still in a reversible situation, meaning the cells haven't died yet. This is an area where your lifestyle changes. This is an area where all your doctors will agree that if you stop stressing what's being stressed, however you're stressing it, those inflammatory processes will simmer down, and even pathology, even your medical doctor, will agree that you're in a reversible state. But that's not where your concern is. Your concern And the focus of this show is when you're being told that enough cells have died and they're not coming back, and so many are gone that the organ's function is compromised, and that this is a progressive problem, meaning no matter what you do, more cells are going to die. Now, the question is what safeguards does the body have to grow new cells? And this is where all of our attention turns to the stem cell. The 2012 Nobel Prize in Medicine given to two scientists, one of them being Sir John Gurdon, British, another Japanese scientist, shared the Nobel Prize for taking normal skin cells and turning them into stem cells, and then taking them, those stem cells, and cloning them and putting them back into the body. So what is a stem cell? And I put it there in picture one and two. A stem cell is a cell that the bone marrow produces, or that may be living in the organ itself, put there at birth, both of which have the potential to divide into any kind of cell they want. And if you look at picture number one, you get a great illustration that in the marrow of the stem, in the marrow of the bone, live these cells called stem cells. And those stem cells will differentiate into many different types of tissues. Those stem cells in the bone marrow are the base cell for which all your immune system differentiates. So all the different types of immune system cells begin in the bone marrow as stem cells. And as that stem cell decides what it wants to grow up and become, well, you get a different type of immune cell. But these stem cells can and are used to differentiate into the cells that your damaged organ needs. And that's one of the big secrets. That's one of the things that you're not told. That those stem cells in the bone marrow deploy, search out, and land in target organs. And once they land in the target organ, they can become the very cell that your dying organ needs. Now, I want you to hold that thought so you understand this issue about stem cells and whether you're taking stem cells from your body, regenerating them, and injecting them back in. And, of course, the controversy years ago was embryonic stem cells, to take a stem cell from a fetus and utilize that to go into somebody's body and start growing new tissue. Traditionally, the objection to stem cells was that the source was fetuses. Now, world culture as a whole today is beyond that, because we're not interested in harvesting stem cells from fetuses. And this is why the 2012 Nobel Prize was given to Sir John Gurdon. Because what they did was take a skin cell and transform it into a stem cell, a pluripotent stem cell, and use that stem cell to start to regenerate organs. Now, that's where science is going. On the tip of everybody's tongue, the future of science will take your cells, convert them to stem cells, multiply them, inject them back into the body, and lo and behold, the tissue that you were told has decayed will regenerate. Saving your kidney, saving your heart, saving your liver. There's been much literature and much about this process. That's not the purpose of this show, though. The purpose of this show is to suggest to you that this process is already going on. And then from the standpoint of natural science, the question we should consider is, are there ways of intensifying or accelerating, potentiating the process that's already intact in the human organism, the process, the divine process that's already intact in the human organism? How can we potentiate it, accelerate it, facilitate it? So there's a synthetic process called stem cell therapy. And that's not what the show is about. Because here's the bottom line. We already know that stem cells move out of the marrow because they're being asked to move out of the marrow and deploy themselves into the target organ. That's how lots of bodies heal. And the degree to which this is done is a very ambiguous area. It's an area that smart scientists will give very wide berth to. There's a lot of variation, individual to individual, regarding how much reserve force out of the marrow of the bone can be deployed into that degenerating organ. And yes, and this is important to understand, yes, if you've suffered massive damage from a disease into an organ, massive damage, you may be at the point where within normal limits, you cannot regenerate that organ with your stem cells. If you've had numerous massive heart attacks, if you're in late stage decay and degeneration in the brain, if your liver is a stage one, stage two cirrhosis, if your renal function is bad enough, then of course, yes. The body's intact mechanisms are statistically going to fail no matter what you do. But that's not what I'm pointing out today. What I'm pointing out today is when that brain of yours, that liver, that kidney, on biopsy has had enough death to the multitudes of cells that comprise it, such that the doctor tells you there's been so much damage here and there's nothing you can do to create new tissue. If you're in the early stages of that degeneration, if you're even up to the moderate stages of that, you have to question that statement. That's why those articles are there. Why? Because out of the bone marrow comes an almost inexhaustible supply of stem cells. Meaning within reason, the damage you've suffered to the brain, to the liver, to the kidney, to the lung, is just waiting to be rescued by your own stem cell supply out of your own bone marrow. And the line that you draw in the sand, across which there's nothing you can do because there's too much damage, and the other side of the line, which says that the early stages of cell death, meaning when the smaller percentages of cells have died, there's enough inherent strength and there's enough inherent backup to grow new tissue. That line is vague. Of course, if you do nothing, if you have no interest, if you're going to go back to the life that damaged your organ in the first place, well, then you're going to fulfill your doctor's prophecy. Okay. Again, you can always get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's with two T's, and listen to the show again and look at the picture so you understand really what I'm talking about here. It is just so central to your health. So many of you are being told that you're in an irreversible state when it's just not true. So, the bone marrow. Why do the Chinese call the bone marrow the essence of the body? In other medicines, Chinese medicine being one of them, the core, or the jing, or the essence of the body, is the marrow of the bone. You don't think about the marrow of your bone. But the Chinese did. Their medical theory did. Because the marrow of your bone is what's generating the stem cells. And the marrow are two types. And I put them there, picture number seven, if you can get to it. There's picture number seven, the red marrow and the yellow marrow of the bone. The red marrow and the yellow marrow of the bone. Take a bone, cut it in half. You're going to see a bloody red, porous, spongy area, and then you're going to see the fat at the very center. Now, it's interesting to note that as you age, the yellow marrow replaces the red marrow. As you age, the part of the bone that produces the stem cells begins to be displaced by fat. And you can also scar tissue the marrow of the bone. It's as if to say, as you age, that which decayed in the marrow gives you less of a supply of stem cells to those organs that are in dire need of support from the marrow. The marrow of the bone is feeding the organs through your entire life. Can you make that connection? This is why other medicines, Chinese medicine, Vedic medicine, all medicines really, back long enough, understood that from the bone comes the source of life for the organ. See, this is so understood that ancient systems created exercises to stimulate the marrow of the bone. Qigong, I put it there on picture number, and I put Mantak Chia, picture 8, bone marrow, Qigong. But it doesn't have to be Mantak Chia, and it doesn't have to be the Chinese. India did it also. Ancient Egypt did it. South America did it. The American Indian did it. Everyone understood that the source of something to give you life came from the bone. This is why, of course, the marrow of the bone was so sought after. Bone marrow has always been understood as a source of mass energy. So there's something about the marrow of the bone that's very foundational to transformative health therapies. And what we know in science today is that when your liver's dying and your brain is dying and your kidney's dying, your bone marrow is doing the best it can to pump out hordes of stem cells to travel to those organs to regenerate those tissues. Now, that's where the variability is. There is massive variability in this process, and that's where the healing arts come in. Again, I'm making a case for the healing arts. I'm alerting you to the possibility that the healing arts are a comprehensive, deliberate system with a beginning, a middle, and an end. I'm suggesting to you that the healing arts have phases of healing from 1 to 2 to 3 all the way to stimulation of bone marrow, acceleration of what's in the bone marrow along a transitional process for an organ in need. I think it should be pretty obvious if you consider, if you even consider the implications of those four or five articles I put up. If you combine that with the implications of ancient systems given much focus towards building power and strength and connectivity to the bone marrow, if you just put those two facts together, you can see where the argument is here. And you can see why generally outcomes are so poor when people are told there's nothing you can do and they go home and do nothing. Piece that together. Can you piece that together? Can you see what's going on each and every day in every hospital across the country? People are walking in early stages of degeneration. Again, my point, I'm not talking about destroyed organs in late stage advanced death states. I'm talking about when you've gotten your wake-up call, but fortunately, it's early enough. It's after that one small heart attack. It's after the point when clearly your kidney's about to slide down. It's after the fact when you've had your liver scanned or ultrasounded and that degree of fibrosis suggests a poor outcome. I'm talking about the earlier to moderate stages. And I'm saying when the Western literature says challenge it and time-tested traditional health systems say challenge it, you want to weigh that in your head against the fact that when you bring it to the attention, if you bring it, I hear people do this all the time. When you bring time-tested systems that offer other perspectives and have potential successes, when you bring that to your physicians, they look at you and they say they've never seen it. And they tell you that in earnest, and by golly, they are being honest. And of course they never saw it because everyone they speak to goes home and does nothing at the medical council. Medical council says to do nothing, so you do nothing. Yes, I'm repeating myself. I know I am. I'm doing it purposely because I know what you're going to do. Too often you will buckle. I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith, there's nothing we can do about your kidney. It's progressive and degenerative to the brain, to the liver. I see it all the time. And you're being told there's nothing, and you buckle. Yes, you do. The institutional weight upon your shoulders buckles you. Go down to picture 14. The Extracellular Matrix in Ground Regulation, a book you should all have, you should all buy, you should all get into what we mean by the space between the cells. Go to picture number 18. If you can, just listen if you're driving. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Welcome. There's nothing for sale here on this show. This is an educational forum. That is how you heal. If you can connect to the education, it's the beginning for you. Picture 19, the extracellular matrix, the area between the cells. Here's the thing. This author, the author to that book on 15, Alfred Pissinger. Difficult last name there, Pissinger. P-I-S-C-H-I-N-G or Alfred. The extracellular matrix and ground regulation, basis for a holistic biological medicine. What did this man mean? He meant the ECM, the extracellular matrix, if you understand what goes on there, it lays the groundwork for all holistic medicine. Now, what's that got to do with organ regeneration? Here's the point. Once the tissues have been scarred and once the cells have died, there's no prospect of regeneration unless you clean and remodel the extracellular matrix. This is what's being left out of stem cell therapy today, and this is why stem cell therapy isn't really working. Stem cell therapy, from the standpoint of allopathy, is not a functional medicine yet, despite awarding the Nobel Prize 5 years ago. It's not functional. It doesn't work. And when people say, well, go to this foreign country to have stem cell injections because you'll get on the other side of your failing organ, believe me, you must question that. Now, the hookup here is that the stem cells have no way to plant unless you've remodeled the matrix. That the space between the cells has to be debrided, cleaned, and remodeled, regenerated to make it look like what it used to look like before it was destroyed. And unless you go through the transitional processes to make that occur, your bone marrow can't help you. You know, Paracelsus said it the best. If you don't know Paracelsus, one of the great physicians of the last 2,000 years, Paracelsus, a deeply devout religious man, he said, God gave us 50%, and he gave us the other 50% for us to explore. And he thought that that was the mystery and the beauty of life's journey, that you're given these hints. Hint, the bone marrow has an unlimited supply of stem cells. Hint, we already know that those stem cells will go to the organs to regenerate damaged, diseased, dying organs. There's the hint. Now, the other piece of it is up to us to get involved with. And that other piece is it doesn't work if you haven't regenerated that space. Now, here's the catch. To regenerate the space between the cells, you have to start on step one. If you're not defecating, if your bile's not flowing, if your lymph are clogged, if your skin doesn't work, if there's too much sand and grit in the kidney, if the lymph nodes have granulated, if there's too much sand in the bile ducts, if there's a lot of cleaning to do, a lot of scouring to do, if there's too much grease in the pipes, even if the marrow deployed its army of stem cells to your screaming, ailing liver, kidney, heart, brain, those stem cells will be sent in vain because you haven't transitioned to the point where you've prepared the ECM for those stem cells. And mark my words, eventually you will hear about this in the literature even more than it's already there. This gentleman, Pissinger, along with others, understands this. The scientists of natural medicine give great, great focus to the terrain. I'm talking about the terrain, a word many of you are familiar with thanks to this show, the terrain. And I'm saying that unless the terrain prepares itself for the grace of the stem cell, the stem cell will fail the process. And this is the faux pas and the mistake, then, of stem cell therapy. Stem cell therapy says you can just come in there, inject the cells into the space, and voila, you just rebuild yourself what was once a dead organ to a living organ. You see, no respect for the terrain and no cigar. Often you can't cheat. When you can cheat, it's God's grace that allows you to cheat. Generally, there are no shortcuts. If you're symptomatic, if you're in a chronic, progressive, degenerative state, if you are told that eventually you are going to buckle and be in the land of doom, organ replacement, or a life of limited function, understand that if you make a choice to get healthy, to go into what comprises a transformational process, it may take you a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years to clean your body, to regenerate it, to get the pearl box ready for the pearl. And your marrow is just sitting there waiting. Look at the Shaolin monks, page 23. Picture number 23. Look at the Shaolin monks. Look at that picture. You've all seen those wonderful little documentaries on the Shaolin. The boxer Shaolin monks. The magical feats they do. The training they get. These kids are taken from their homes at 6, 7, 8 years old, and it's considered an honor. Not child abuse, child neglect. It's considered an honor. They're taken to wonderfully clean, beautiful, pristine places, and they are trained. Go online. Just look at feats of the Shaolin monks. It's not hocus pocus. It's not tricks. Chinese don't have to exaggerate their culture. They have a wonderfully sophisticated healing tradition. Replaced, of course, by the modern healing tradition. But many traditional systems are still alive. Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu. And what they do with their bodies is ultimately centered around the bone marrow. Now, India, and really more of India is in America today than even in India. And many Indians will tell you that, at least as far as yoga is concerned. To find the real thing in India, you have to look hard and deep and far. But look at picture 19. That pose is called Scorpion. The more advanced, complicated poses of yoga only occur when the yogic training has already gotten their bones soft. The bones have to get soft. They have to get pliable. The flexibility has to hit the level at which the tendons and the fascia have sheared off the bone to leave the bone exposed, so that it's basically you and your bones. This is why so often, not always, but so often, people who get into the healing arts, the Shaolin masters, the yogic masters, are skin and bone. I'm not making an argument for skin and bone, and I'm not saying a little fat is dangerous, but I am saying that in their training, to get to the point where the muscle folds off the bone so that the bones can become soft and pliable and vitalized, they have to go through phases where they bring their body weight very, very low and get very, very flexible. And that flexibility, regardless of which system you're looking at, is there to tell you that there's some payoff, there's some hidden payoff that occurs when these levels of extreme flexibility are met. Back to the science. If you shake a bone, if you soften a bone, if you flex a bone, could it be that you're knocking on the door of the stem cells? Well, think about it. What organ in the body, what tissue in the body doesn't greatly benefit from manipulation? Muscles, tendons, and ligaments, when they get soft enough and pliable enough to be physically, structurally manipulated, whether it's stretching or different forms of massage, don't we see an upregulation of physiology? Don't we see better function? And don't you think it is true of the bone? But you have to take your healing to the bone. Indian medicine, Chinese medicine, all the ancient medicines took their healings to the bone. Why was water fasting traditionally considered the ultimate cure? Why are there so many articles on what the cell does as you deny it food? The cell, as you deny it food, dissolves its waste. The intercellular space dissolves during a water fast. It dissolves so that it can be reborn. You see? Traditions, time tested, are all pointing to the fact through a variety of exercises, physical, nutritional, you can remodel that space between the cells to make room for an enhanced deployment of stem cells into these target organs. And that in the history of water fasting is what you'll find to be the case. That in the history of Kung Fu, of Qigong, of yoga is what you'll find to be the case. It's so counterintuitive for Americans to trust that simple things work. It's so counterintuitive for a nation, a culture, that exalts science the way it does, that it can be as simple as cleanse, stretch, bend your bones, purge your emotional demons, let go of your pain, and ultimately you can find a new level of regeneration in once dying, diseased, and doomed tissues. That, unfortunately, is too complicated when it's so simple. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not.com. If this show has stimulated your curiosity, give my office a call. Come in, make an appointment, get counseled, get set in the right direction, and begin your own personal healing. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.